Foster Thompson, the state, June Gumbel from the DOR, the Department of Revenue. We've acquired tax credits to do this deal. We're empowering our people. We put 15 residents to work already. Two or three of the residents that we put to work hadn't had a job in 6 years. One of them is on my board, Brother Bossman, who used to come to every meeting and say, I know, but can I get a job? And I have to give a good report that at the last meeting he stood up and said, can I get a raise? And we are looking into that because that's what this is all about. There's money to be made here. Everybody can participate. This isn't a deal of philanthropy. Beacon entered in and partnered with us because they're making money, and we're making money. And you can free up the land and develop it and empower people. And that's what this is all about. Empowering people is the vision and to keep our homes. They said 1 minute, but I have the one thing left to say, and that is Section 8 has run out in this nation as we know it. And we're living on an extension and vouchers. And the one thing that I want to say, while I have the mayor and the governor and everyone here with the money, that I don't want to see conservatives get in and end the Section 8 or vouchers, and that the people who live in Mandela, the entire development is under Section 8, 30% of your income. That we fight for this and fix the building up, and in 2 years, Newt Gingrich or whoever gets in and says, we have no more funds. And then the residents that live there be forced to move out, and we struggled and fixed this for someone else to move in. So we have to start to begin creative measures in which we assure that the development will remain in the hands of those who deserve it and have struggled for it. I love you, and I say peace. Thank you.
Governor, Mayor, for the last year, I've been deferring to my partner and letting him speak first. I'm starting to feel this is terribly unfair, and I was thinking about renegotiating that provision of the partnership agreement. But since I like the partnership agreement's provisions about fees, I think I'll leave Glenn continue to speak first. I see over on my right Dr. Brown and the Mandela rowing team. Right. For those of you who don't know, for the last several years, Dr. Brown has done a most remarkable thing at Mandela, bringing together a group of terrific kids from the neighborhood and forming the nation's first Afro-American rowing team, which is now rowed in the head of the Charles and events all across the country and in Canada, and next year will go international, if I remember correctly. Dr. Brown's work has really been the crocus of spring. The crocus is a spring of change at Mandela, and is a real bright spot to us and the community. We had terrific cooperation from all of the agencies that assist the development of affordable housing in the city, the Federal Home Bank, and in particular my old boss, John Eller, who can't be with us today, the Mass Housing Investment Corporation, Mass Housing Partnership, the city. Everybody really came together. We had a terrific cooperation from Fleet Bank and PNC. We asked them to do some pretty gutsy, maybe even some stupid things, and we didn't give them much time to think about it either. Everybody really, really pulled together to make this happen. Good business people don't usually think people who've lost money in their deals. At least they don't think them publicly. But in an unusual twist, we want to thank some people who lost a lot of money in Mandela, and that's the creditors of the former owner. Millions were lost by Winter Hill Bank, the City of Boston, the Boston Water and Sewer Authority, but at the end they all came together and recognized that it was more important to stop fighting and to trust in the community and to turn the buildings over to us so that we could get on with the work of the community, and they were all terrific. It took a host of extremely able bankruptcy and real estate lawyers to wrest this property from its former owner and to close the transaction. Stephen Gray and Bruce Erickson, from the federal court bankruptcy trustees, and Paul Moore, their counsel, withstood years of threats and insults. The city's lawyers, Saul Shapiro and Nina Lambert, and, of course, our legal team, Kirk Jackson, Paul Ricotta, our team at Mintz Levin, and my favorite general counsel, Kathleen Sheehan, worked hours and hours, nights and weeks, to make this a reality. We also want to thank our friends at the Boston HUD office, who often don't get thanked, because behind the scenes, they continue to work little pieces of federal magic. They kept our Section 8 contract going and did a lot of other things to make this happen. At one point in every great story, there's a moment of truth requiring the hero, or in our case, the heroine, to take the big risk. At the critical junction of Mandela, we called upon Jane Gumbel and her mighty rowing crew at DHCD to make it clear to the bankruptcy court that the necessary state funding would be available if the court approved the bankruptcy plan. Without this step, it had become perfectly clear that the court was going to dismiss the case and turn the project back to who knows what end. Jane knew that whatever she did would be the source of litigation, threats, calls to the governor's office, and intimidation. She had every reason not to trust anybody in this transaction, and no reason to get involved in this transaction except for one. And that reason, it was the right thing to do, and she did it. She took the heat and made Glenn's and MRCA's dream come true. And we want to offer a special thanks to Jane Gumbel.
Donna says I can say thanks first. You need to know that I am grateful. And I recall the conversation, recall the conversation with Howard where I said, this is making me nervous. And he said, that's okay, just do the right thing. And the nice thing is that I get to do the right thing. The governor lets me do the right thing. As the director of the Department of Housing and Community Development, I wear two hats. Not today, but in general, I wear two hats. I'm able to allocate a tremendous amount of resources for the state's affordable housing commitment. And I also represent communities and neighborhoods and the revitalization on a community level. Today, I think we're here to celebrate both of my hats. We have a project that we will see 276 affordable units preserved, ones that were terribly threatened, and we survived that. But we're also, I think the rowing team is a perfect example, a neighborhood revitalization, a commitment to the community. And so here I am wearing both hats, and that's a delightful opportunity for me. I think that at the risk of failing to, by name, thank everyone, I'll thank no one specifically, and then I won't have missed anyone. But it's important to recognize, and I think the crowd speaks to that, the real partnership that went into the rededification of Mandela. If it weren't for the commitment of the public sector, both at the level of the federal, I guess it's more than both at the level of the federal government, state government, city government, we wouldn't be here today. But the partnership went beyond that. It was the residents, as Glenn so eloquently put it, he just didn't accept no. The private sector was involved with financing. And I think that partnership is the key to my continuing to do my job and continuing to do a job that I enjoy. I want to introduce to you the person that lets me do my job, and one who, as you know, says he loves his job even more than I love mine. A special partner in this deal is Governor Paul Cellucci, who allocated millions of dollars of resources to make this dream come true for all of the residents, for the community, and I'm delighted to be here today with the governor and to introduce him to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much for such a warm welcome. I do want to thank the Power Praise Choir for waking those of us up who stayed up last night watching the Oscar shows. But your music was terrific. This means we're going to have safe, quality, affordable housing for the 1,200 residents of Mandela. And I do want to congratulate Glenn Hall and the residents, because they fought for what they believed in, and they prevail. And I know it hasn't been an easy course, but we're here today to celebrate what they've done and to celebrate the partnership that they have put together. And in a larger sense, we celebrate this city, and we celebrate the urban areas of our state. I'm one who very much believes that our cities have to be economic engines for our communities and for the regions in which they exist. But I think we know that as important as economic growth is, as important as a job is for families and for their standard of living and for their quality of life, cities consist of neighborhoods, and cities have to be livable. And to be livable, we have to have housing, and we have to have affordable housing. In a larger extent, we celebrate the great progress that has been made in the city of Boston under the leadership of Mayor Menino, someone who is absolutely committed to the neighborhoods. We celebrate this working relationship between the neighborhoods, the city government, the state government. And I'm very happy that Representative Byron Rushing is here, and I saw Representative Gloria Fox. I know that Senator Diane Wilkerson also worked very hard to make sure state government could be a full partner here. And I do want to thank Jane Gumbel, because I know of her extraordinary efforts to make sure we could arrive at this day. State government has allocated about $9 million in tax credits and loans and grants so that we can rededicate and so that we can redevelop the Mandela apartments. So we celebrate this extraordinary partnership. We celebrate this great city, and we certainly celebrate the cooperation between the neighborhoods, the city government, and the state government. And I can tell you that as long as I'm sitting up there in the governor's office, we will continue to work with our cities, we will continue to work with our neighborhoods to make sure that we have a good quality of life for every citizen of our Commonwealth. Thank you very much.
The gift that Glenn just gave the governor is a little ore in honor of the Mandela crew team, and it's a rededication gift to the governor. I'd now like to introduce the Director of Neighborhood Development, Charles Grigsby, who will introduce Mayor Menino.
Good morning, everyone. I'd like to first recognize several voices in the city who helped make the city's commitment to this real. Pat Canavan, the mayor's chief advisor on housing. I saw some voice. Ish is back. Tom O'Brien, the chief economic development officer for the city. Tom O'Malley, who lived this project for too many months, I think, Tom. And his associate at D&D, Sarah Constant. Thank you for your efforts. Just as this is the best of times for many, Mayor Tom Menino and his administration are determined that this not be the worst of times for others. So this 276 units of housing, affordable housing, is important. Every single unit is important. It is part of the mayor's total commitment to affordable housing. And this morning, there are 800 units of housing in construction in the city of affordable housing. There are another 1,500 units of affordable housing in the pipeline. That adds up to 2,300 units of housing. I say units of housing, but if you ask the mayor, he would say that would be 2,300 families who are no longer living in substandard housing and are no longer living on the edge. Those housing units have produced 700 jobs, 785 jobs, and the housing in the pipeline will create another 800 jobs in the city for people in the city. With all that, the mayor has said, that's not enough. You and he and I know that is not enough. The demand is far greater than that. So Mayor Menino has said to his city staff, find new ways with your partners of the Commonwealth, MHIC, the private partners, and with the community to find new resources, new partnerships, and new ways of creating housing in the city. So with your help, we will. I'd like to introduce Mayor Tom Menino.
Thank you. Thank you, Chuck. Governor Salucci, you notice I didn't use the word acting. I was there. He's using the same playbook, let me tell you. Representative Fox, Representative Byron Rushen, ladies and gentlemen, and Glenn, I'd like to talk to you about the investments in Roxbury. You gave a great, compelling talk this morning, and we will talk about our investment in this community over the last 4 years. It's my pleasure really today to be here to really celebrate the rehabilitation of the Mandela Homes. And what does this rehabilitation mean? It means rehabilitation of neighborhoods. People having the opportunity to live in a decent, sanitary, safe house. And why did that happen? It's because of the perseverance of the residents over so many years. I can remember getting all those letters that came into my office about the concerns about those units. But people came together on this issue. The state, the city, the private sector, and the tenants who drove the issue. And so today is a real celebration of a partnership of rehabilitation of three different housing developments within the city of Boston. I hope I'm standing here in the next few months to announce more projects like this, where we're creating housing because we desperately need it. You know, when they talk about homelessness in the city of Boston, they're only talking about the numbers that are in the shelters. What about the numbers that are doubling up or tripling up in apartments in Dorchester, in Roxbury, in Hyde Park, in South Boston? That's homelessness also. Now, those people are fortunate enough to have relatives who will take them in. We do have a crisis in America on affordability. In Massachusetts, we're dealing with it. We're dealing with it in an effective manner. We have to do more. We need this collaboration we have here this morning, this celebration of 276 units for people who deserve decent housing. Thank you very much.
Mr. Mayor, you don't want to lose that paddle, right? You don't want to be up the creek or anything like that. Well, I would like to thank the governor who made time in his day. He has another appointment, so I want to thank him for coming this morning. Governor, thank you. Glenn gave us an idea of what it was like. He's been there for 22 years, but we thought we'd present the resident's perspective. And despite the early uncertainty of the Mandela development, there were those who believed that this day would absolutely come. And to share a very brief, I underscore brief, perspective, is Michaeline Jackson, who is a resident and clerk of the Mandela Residents Cooperative Association Board, and board member Rahman Taqwa.
Good morning. I am Michaeline Jackson, the executive director for the Mandela office, residence office, and also the clerk. As a 14-year resident of the Mandela, I saw several changes in which did not benefit the tenants. I got involved with the tenant association several years ago, hoping to play a part in changing that trend. However, the previous owner clearly manipulated the tenants association at that time. I thank God for working with the Mandela board, MICA board, that we were able to accomplish that task of ownership in the past year, which was once a pipe dream, and now that dream has come true. Congratulations, MICA. Keep up the good work, and never, never again allow anyone to manipulate us, for we have only just begun. Thank you again. Congratulations on this phase of the mission. Thank you. Yes, I want to acknowledge Sister Helen that worked with the MICA board. She used to be the president. She passed away recently, and I would like to acknowledge her and thank you.
Well, before I begin, I just want to pause in a moment of silence in memory of Helen Azpura, who was really the queen mother, from my perspective, of this effort. And I must begin everything in the name of Almighty God, who, in the Arabic language, we call his proper name Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, by bearing witness that none deserves to be worshipped besides him, and that Muhammad indeed is his servant and messenger. And I greet all our friends, allies, family, in the greeting words of peace, the salutation used by all the servants of God, from the first to the last, including Jesus the Christ. We say it in the Arabic language, Assalamu alaikum. In Hebrew, Shalom Aleichem. In English, peace be upon you. That's a greeting, it's a prayer, but it's also an injunction. Peace be upon you. Peace obligates you to proliferate peace, but there can be no peace in the absence of justice. And that's what this is about here today, is economic justice for the downtrodden. I moved to Mandela 4 years ago, as reluctantly as Jonah went to Nineveh. And when I got there, I saw the situation that Michaeline described, very clever man manipulating the Tenants Association like a Pied Piper. And so I pondered the situation, and he had me fooled, charmed for a minute. But when I started asking him questions, he pulled me in his office and he said to me,
"Listen, Abdul, it's not about right or wrong. It's about money. Me and my lawyers, we have all the money. We can do whatever we want. What do you want, Abdul?"
So I said to him, "I want you to do right by all these people, because these are my people, and I want for them what I want for myself." At that point, we became adversaries. So to make a long story short, I stood on the roof at 8 Newcomb Street and look down at Mandela with my brother, Carl Erickson. Are you here? Would you please stand? And we looked down at Mandela, and he said to me, what if we get the Tenants Association a real lawyer? And what if we find a broker? And what if we find a developer and make this thing a reality and stop this man from jerking our people around? I asked him one question. Why can't we? He said, no reason. So we went to work. And so he recommended a real lawyer, with Kirk Jackson. Would you please stand? And he recommended a broker, Rachel Goldberg. Are you here? Would you please stand? And she found us our development partner, Howard Cohen. And he recommended us a CPA, Daniel Dennis. Would you please stand? And the board at that time, under the leadership of the previous president, Rotimi Abu, if you're here, would you please stand? The board approved, and we went to work. So Mr. Abu burned out and passed the baton to our illustrious president, Glenn Hall, who pushed this thing to a reality. And our unity got us respect, and the respect got us allies. And don't worry, brother, nobody can drive a wedge between me and you. As long as you continue to stand on principles of righteousness, and I continue to stand on principles of righteousness, I have your back. And the only thing that can drive a wedge between you and I is if one of us get tricked, because none of us are beyond being tricked. And if we are tricked into compromising a principle of righteousness, then that will drive a wedge, but it won't be a permanent wedge, because once we discover that we've been tricked, we know the steps to atonement, reconciliation, and responsibility. And that will remove the wedge. So our unity net us allies, those who were former naysayers. Tom O'Malley, Public Facilities Department, came on board, and really allies too numerous to mention. And so we moved on with the unity of a rowing team striking the water all in unison with the oar, all at one time, which is a beautiful thing. And that unity got us to the milestone that we're celebrating today. Congratulations, Mandela. Keep up the good work.
I bring you greetings now from State Senator Diane Wilkerson, who unfortunately was unable to join us today, but she does send her greetings and her best wishes. And at the same time, I'd like to recognize the other state representatives, State Representative Byron Rushing, and State Representative Gloria Fox. One of the earliest supporters of the project was Councillor Gareth Saunders, who's currently serving his third term on the Boston City Council. Councillor Saunders has focused primarily on issues of affordable housing, job creation, and delivering basic services to the residents of District 7. I now present Gareth Saunders.
Good morning, Mayor Menino, friends and neighbors, the Mandela crew, and Dr. Brown, Pastor Thompson, and the other elected officials, Representative Gloria Fox and Byron Rushing. Good morning. Welcome, Mayor Menino, to the district that I am so proud to represent. Welcome, Mayor Menino. This is a very special day for me, because in 1988, I had an opportunity to start working with the residents of the Mandela development when I worked with the United South End Settlements. And at that time, we were going to do some tenant organizing work with Mandela, but we couldn't. We could not, because there was a division with the tenants at that time. And we all know that a house divided against itself cannot stand. And that is the lesson that we learned through this whole long process. We couldn't help them then. But today, the residents got together, came together as a unit, and that's why we're able to see the fruits of their labor today. I'd like to say thank you to a number of people who are involved. Those who had spoke before me thanked many people, but I would like to thank the recovery group. They were very involved in that. Governor Sununu, Mayor Menino and his administration, and the other elected officials that are here, because you have not had the opportunity to see the work that we have done behind the scenes. It was a meeting, and I just want to give praise to my fellow elected officials, where Representative Rushing, Senator Wilkerson, and Representative Fox and myself got in a room, and we talked to all the players, and we demanded that they would do right by our people. And that's part of the influence that we had in this process. In closing, I just want to say thank you to all the residents, and I have resolutions from the City Council, but because of time, I will not read them today. I will invite you to City Hall, where we can honor you in the City Council soon. I look at this whole process as a marathon, and it's not over today. From people like Tony Lasurgis in the late 80s, and Helen Aspura, to Abu, to Takwa and to Glenn, you know, you are carrying the baton today. And let me warn you, this is just the beginning. And just like the state and the city and the private developers have their interests and they will protect their interests, you, the residents, must protect your interests. Remember that. Watch them diligently and keep the faith. Thank you very much and God bless.
Thank you, Councilor Saunders. Medela Homes secured its funding from five private and public sources. Over the years, it has had a number of advocates, along with Fleet National Bank and PNC Bank New England. The next three speakers, brief speakers, are some of its strongest champions, and we're delighted to have them here. To begin, I'd like to present Vincent McCarthy, senior partner at Hale & Dorr. He has been chairman of the board of the Massachusetts Housing Partnership since 1991, and he has had a long history with this development project. Mr. McCarthy.
Thanks, everybody. It's a real honor to be here today. 13 years ago, Mayor Flynn asked me to prepare a report to the BRA. Tom O'Malley was even then working on housing projects at the BRA on the future of what was then Westminster Willard. And what I saw at that point in time was a project that was hopelessly under financial water with a very difficult owner, and I will leave it at that. And there were a handful of tenants, one of whom, hi Gloria, one of whom, Anthony Lycurgus, is no longer with us, but he was such a beacon of light in those days when it was the darkest days for Westminster Willard, which soon became Mandela. So it's a real honor to be here today to see something come of great value out of those days, those very, very difficult days. I also want to say that if Mandela is about anything, it's about perseverance, one of the great spiritual virtues rarely talked about, but perseverance, people's willingness to hang in there for a long, long time to make things happen, about a very, very strong sense of community. The mayor and the governor are both to be commended for the extraordinary staff that they have assembled and given the green light to in their respective eras of power to make housing happen. I think everybody in this room knows. In fact, if you had asked any of us 5 years ago, would we believe the city would become as wealthy as it has become, we would have said, no way, not in our lifetime. Thank you very much.
Mr. Joseph Flatley serves as president and CEO of the Massachusetts Housing Investment Corporation. It's a nonprofit lending organization set up to pool the resources of Massachusetts banks to improve and expand the financing of affordable housing throughout Massachusetts. I'd like to invite Mr. Flatley forward.
Good morning, and it still is morning, barely. This is a long speaking program, and I don't want to compete with the length of the Academy Awards last night, so I will be brief. We are a private company set up by banks to invest in affordable housing, and to date we've invested over $325 million in affordable housing projects around the state, about $150 million of that in the city of Boston. As a matter of fact, we've invested about $30 million in properties directly adjacent to this one. So we are experienced in investing in affordable housing, and that really is our mission. I have to say, when I first started learning about this project and what it was going through, it was about 18 months ago. I was talking to Tom O'Malley, who at the time was on our board of directors, and I was asking him what he was doing with his time, and he explained to me that he was working on this project and kind of went into a lot of the gruesome details of the time. And I have to say, my initial reaction was that I was glad he was spending his time on it and I wasn't. It was truly a very difficult and challenging situation, one that at the time, because of all of the challenges facing it, looked like the challenges were really more difficult than could be overcome. Fast forward 18 months later, here we are, investing altogether about $17 million in this project. We clearly are proud and happy to be a participant here. This is our single largest housing investment that we've made in our history. And we did so not out of philanthropy, not out of charity. We're doing this because we think this is a good investment. And it's really a tribute to the sponsors, to Howard and Glenn, that they convinced us that it was a good investment. So we're here to congratulate people. We're proud to be a part of this, to be partners. I think a number of people have said this, but I think I want to reinforce it. I think that the message here is not only to celebrate what's been accomplished, but to use what's been accomplished and the challenges that have been overcome and the perseverance that it's taken to get here as an inspiration for all of us to try to take on the remaining challenges, and there are many, in terms of the affordable housing challenges facing Boston and our nation. Thank you very much.
The responsibility for the development and administration of the Federal Home Loan Bank of Boston's Housing and Community Development Initiatives is handled by a dedicated executive, David Parrish, who's Senior Vice President and Director of Housing and Community Investment. Please welcome Mr. Parrish.
Thank you. Since I seem to be all that separates you from lunch, I can assure you I'll be extremely brief. I do want the opportunity, however, to acknowledge our financial partners in this project, PNC of New England and Fleet Bank. I think the Commonwealth is unusually blessed, as is the city, with financial institutions that are strongly committed to communities and to these types of projects. So I want to thank them for their dedication to this and their participation with us. The Federal Home Loan Bank of Boston has funded about 11,000 units of housing around New England. 7,000 of those units are in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, and 3,000 are in the city of Boston. I know, Mr. Mayor, that's not enough. We're working at it. We'll keep the numbers up. Of all those projects that were submitted in the last round for funding under the Affordable Housing Program, Mandela Apartments was the highest scoring submission that we received in the request for funds. The reason for that is obvious today. It's in the dedication of everyone who made this happen and all of the partnerships that came together to make this such an outstanding project. So in closing, I'd like to thank everybody for all the commitments that they brought to this very successful endeavor, and to thank you very much for allowing us and our other financial partners to participate in such a worthwhile project. Thank you very much.